Now, the story of Abraham, it doesn't conclude just in the Old Testament, Darren. He goes on into the New Testament. And in Romans, in the fourth chapter of Romans, we find a story of Abraham, a continuing faith story of Abraham. And what excites me about this fourth chapter of Romans is that the promise may be certain to all the descendants of Abraham. Now, am I a descendant of Abraham? Yes, I am. I am a descendant of Abraham because I have believed in Jesus Christ. And Paul said in Galatians that if we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus, then we are recipients of that promise of Abraham. So I believe I am a descendant of Abraham.
What you're saying is you believe the same promises God made to Abraham.
Yes.
That are yours.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, let me read just a little bit about that out of Genesis 17. He said, I'll make you exceedingly fruitful. I'll make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. Genesis 17:6. Well, he gave some mighty promises, and he's saying in Genesis 12, Genesis 15 and 17, he's saying, I'm going to establish my covenant or my contract with you. Now, I believe this, that once we understand what happens here in Romans 4, and on all of this teaching we've given you out of Ezekiel 14 and Ezekiel 37, you'll begin to realize that you have mighty power in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the Holy Spirit just spoke to me as we were delivering this message was, tell the people they need to respect the prophetic anointing on their words, not just a prophet in church or a prophet on television or a minister of the gospel. They need to respect in a greater way the power that's in their voice and in their words.
That's right.
See, God is saying, I made you in my image and likeness here. Now, don't depreciate what I've done for you and the person I've made you.
Yes. And as you see the sermons like Peter gave in the book of Acts, like Stephen gave in the book of Acts, you see that a lot of it is highlighted in red, and it's come from the Old Testament, because these mighty men of God, they actually almost memorized the Old Testament. And we can't possibly do that in the natural, but with the power of Holy Spirit, we can. Darren, I've just got to read Romans 4:17.
That's great. That's some of the best stuff.
This is a verse that talks about bringing life into a dead circumstance, and we've been talking about this in Ezekiel 37. In Romans 4:17, he's talking about Abraham, who is the father of us all. A father of many nations have I made you in the sight of him whom he believed, in the sight of God who Abraham believed. There has to be believing in God. You cannot say, oh, I think so. Oh, well, you know, he's up there in the sky doing, you know, sitting on his throne. I don't know what he's doing, but, you know, he probably once in a while he's going to come down and help his people once in a while. But I don't know what God's real mission in life is, other than to sometimes come and do bad things to bad people. You cannot receive any good from God's hand when you believe in God like that. That's a wimpy belief. But here, Abraham believed that God was Yahweh, God was God Almighty, God was El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Abraham believed God.
Okay, but let me interject something here, what you're talking about. Hebrews 4:2. Indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard.
Yes.
You must approach the word with faith.
Absolutely,
I agree. You can ask God for faith. He'll give you more faith.
Yes, and that's what Abraham had. He had faith. In fact, he's called the father of faith. And it says here that God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Now, you serve a God who gives life to the dead. Yes, he does. Hallelujah. And he calls into being that which does not exist. He did when he created the worlds. He called that by his very voice, that which did not exist, into being. And Darren, they say that, you know, that now we can get embryos out of nothing. We're so close to creating human beings from the test tube. And Darren, it's only God, God only, who gives life.
Well, without the life force, you'll just have dead tissue.
That's right.
You'll have something dead.
Yes.
But I want to read one thing that tells you why this is so alive in us. Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, now I assume that you're a Christian, that are listening here, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So everything that God promised to Abraham is ours by contract or by covenant. And I'll tell you, the other day God spoke to me, in fact, in the night. He said, I want you to look up in the spirit world. And I looked up, and it was like there was a cloud above me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now, that's really my covenantal promise to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're giving up the spirit of control in your life, why don't you let me run the show? Invite. In fact, go to the front door of your house, Darren, open it up, and invite that mighty cloud, that mighty anointing that mighty covenantal promise to come in and fill your whole house.
Yes.
And he said, why don't you look every day for an evidence of me establishing the covenant according to promise in your life? And I'm starting to see that on a daily basis, and it's wonderful.
Praise God. I just want to get back to Romans 4 one more time.
I have a great gift of getting Barbara off the track.
I know.
Did I get you off the track again?
Verse to verse. No, I'm here. I'm here to stay. And we read here in Romans 4, I'm going to read the 18th to the 20th verse now, Darren. In hope against hope, Abraham believed in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. Now, he believed according to a rhema that had already been spoken to him. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Now, his own body was like the valley of dry bones. It was dead. His own body, to reproduce, it was dead. He wasn't dead physically yet, but in order to have children, that part of his body was dead.
How old was he when God had this conversation with him?
He was 75 years old.
75.
All right. In order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. This was later on, after the 75 years. He waited. And he was 100 years old. And yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. Now, here's that ugly word, unbelief, again. It pops up all the time when you're talking about lack of faith. It's unbelief. But grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform.
Now, you know what I like about this rendering here in Scripture? The man, Abraham, looked at the natural, and he said, it's impossible. But then he looked in the Spirit and he listened to the voice of God, and God said it's possible. And he put his faith, he bet on, I could say it that way, God being able to do what he said he was going to do. Mm-hmm. So here he had two ways to go. And we always seem to have two decisions. We can go with reason or we can go with revelation.
Yes.
We can go with what everybody else says and take a poll of everybody around us, or we can go with what God's speaking to us. Now, if we put our faith in the word of the Lord, and folks, we hope that this lesson, many other lessons, will get you to the point to where you put the rhema voice, what you hear on the inside of you, above what you hear from the outside.
Yes.
And that's always a struggle, and unbelief is always knocking on the door to say, well, you dummy, this isn't going to work. You're going to make a fool of yourself. You're going to do, you know, all kinds of things going to happen to you. Well, you have to do, and I'm sure that the opportunity for Abraham and Sarah to disbelieve what they had heard from the Lord was very strong.
Yes.
But they hung in there and said, we believe not only what God said was truth, but he's able to carry out these profound things that he's spoken to us.
That's right. And we can do that very same thing today, Darren. If we're in debt, or if we have, say, for instance, I have a problem in my body and I want healing in my body. It's not going to come from crying and weeping and sobbing. It's not going to come from feeling sorry for myself. Self-pity is a horrible thing to come into a person's life. What's going to bless me mightily is when I can say scriptures like Romans 8:11, that if that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in me, he will make alive my mortal body, and continue to confess and prophesy those things over my body until my body finds out and says, okay, I will change.
How do you know that spirit is in you?
Holy Spirit is that spirit in me, that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
Because you invited him in, right?
Yes.
By invitation, you said.
Well, and being born again, that happens, yes.
And both of those come by invitation, by an act of your will, and through your confession, through your words. See, you got started moment one with Jesus by confession. It says, if you confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart.
Confess your sins, yes.
Well, all of this is based on confession. And guess what? What is Christianity called? The Great Confession.
Hmm.
So we've got to continue using our mouth as we should. And sometimes some of you need to say, you lazy lips, I command you to do your job. Mm-hmm. And you're going to say what I give you to say. Now, what you have to decide is your body is a servant.
Mm-hmm. That's
yes. See, now, if your identity is totally flesh, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And that may be an idol that you need to dethrone. Well, I don't feel good. Well, I've got this. Oh, whatever. Now, in the Stepping into Freedom seminars, we teach that feelings and symptoms are liars and God's word is truth.
Yes.
You've got to decide, am I going with lying symptoms? And I mean, they lie like crazy and they make themselves appear to be true and appear to be unchangeable. Well, that's a lie. You got to treat a lie for what it is. It's a lie. Well, you've got something stronger than a lie, and that's truth. But you have to decide, am I going to go with these lying circumstances? You know, when MasterCard says you never